Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 730. I am your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick agent, Fox Mulder, the three-legged feline, is in the other room looking out the window. He was getting a little wired, I guess, for sound. I did try to play with him a little bit earlier to tire him out, but I guess he's still not quite tired. So to distract him, I opened the blinds. I didn't open the window, man. I have allergies. I don't like to keep the windows open at all. The older I get, the more problems I have with allergies. And I try to keep the outside world on the outside. But I did open the blinds so he could look out. Keeps him a little distracted, you know. He's like, oh, I get to see the birds and the other animals that are out. Which actually, last Sunday night, he must have seen something outside. I don't know what it was. He woke me up. It was like 12:45, 12:50. It was like right before 1 a.m. in the morning. And I did not get jack shit for sleep that night. He was so excited. He was all meowing at the window. In my bedroom here, kept putting his head underneath the blinds and like pulling the blinds out and meowing. And then he was like coming over to me and meowing like, hey, dude, check this out. And I'm looking out. I'm like, I don't fucking see anything out here, man. I don't know what the fuck you're freaking out over. I got up and then he ran downstairs to the front door, which he doesn't usually like want outside. So it was pretty rare, pretty much never. Yeah, something out there. I don't know. Maybe there was some strange. Maybe a feline was, you know, open for business, if you were, a cat. And I don't know what was going on. I didn't see or hear anything, though, other than him freaking out. And then eventually I just had to, I tried playing with him that night and tried to get him calmed down. He was not calming down. He was not having any part of it. He was jacked for sound. So I just had to close him out of the bedroom, which it upset him a little bit. He usually sleeps with me and everything. And then, the next morning, I woke up late. It was about time to go to work when I woke up. I barely had enough time to, like, make my sandwich. I skipped breakfast. Threw me all out of whack. But he was very, very much, you could tell, he was upset that he didn't get to spend the whole night with me. Which I did feel kind of bad. But my friend Megan is trying to get me to, adopt another three-legged kitty cat. She's got, three or four of them that are missing a leg right now. As the mother that, she has a mother that had several kittens. One of them has all four legs. They call him Quad. Just kind of funny. And let's see, there's Trip. Which is missing, I believe all the kittens that are missing a leg is a back leg. There's Trip, Lefty, I'm missing at least one or two of them. I'm not really wanting to get a second cat. I tried that one time with Scully and, it didn't work out. Didn't work out. It was rough. And, I enjoy just having the one cat. I love Agent Fox Mulder here. He is my boy. And, I don't feel that we need to jeopardize what we have here. Though then again, like I've said in the past, it would be pretty great to have, for the comedy value, it would be pretty great to have like multiple cats that are missing a leg. That way, I get some strangers, which almost never happens that I have a stranger that doesn't know me come over here. Pretty much doesn't happen at all. But it would be entertaining to have somebody over that was unaware of the what I had going on with, you know, my kitty cat, that he was, you know, my handy cat, if you will, missing a leg. But then just, you know, that's one thing, you know, people, oh, you know, you got one person over here that's a complete stranger and then notices like, oh, hey, your cat's missing a leg. Oh, man, poor fellow. And then look over and then see, you know, one or two other cats that are also missing a leg. It would be kind of funny. I mean, I would imagine that if I had an instance where I did, you know, have some stranger over, that they would probably not assume that I'm like a psycho killer, that if I had multiple cats missing a leg. But, you know, there could be that moment. I mean, if they didn't know me at all. And to realize, oh, wait a minute, there's multiple cats here and they're all missing a fucking leg. You know, and then just like see the, just watch their reaction in real time and just see like the wheels turning. And then, you know, it would be pretty epic. I would get some humor out of it. I would find that rather amusing myself. But I mean, for that, it would be entertaining to have multiple cats missing a leg, to have that reaction of, again, a stranger. You know, it could be one of those instances where I have like a repairman come over or something to like check on the HVAC unit or what have you, and then be like, oh, you got, oh, this is a nice cat you got. Oh, it's missing a leg. And then, oh, you got multiple cats missing a leg. You know, as it turns out, I don't have my tools here. What do you know? I can't help you here. Not going to be able to service your unit. I mean, that could be a pain in the ass if they just like, oh, fuck it, I'm out of here. In that regards, if it was like a repairman or something. But if it was just someone over here, like visiting with a friend of mine or something that didn't know me, that'd be really entertaining. And they didn't mention the fact that I had like three-legged animals. Anyway, yeah, I'm going to venture to guess I probably won't get another kitten or cat, period. But, you know, I told him, I was like, I guess we can see Fox's reaction, which I'm kind of hoping, you know, maybe I can talk to him right beforehand and be like, look, you got to hate this fucking cat. Just hiss and just be angry the whole time, buddy. Do me a solid. Do me a solid, man. We'll have that talk when it gets there. We'll see what happens. But, you know, I mean, fuck, if he loves the cat, then fuck. I mean, the whole purpose I attempted to get a second cat before was, you know, to help him out, for his benefit, if you will. Because, you know, I'm gone a lot, and it did seem like, well, maybe that would be, you know, it would help him out. Then again, you know, maybe I'm thinking all along the lines of that maybe not, you know, leaning definitely more towards like probably not a great idea. As again, that first time around was rough. It was rough. And rather not go through that again. Lost a lot of sleep for the month or 2 months, whatever it was. I don't even recall how long it was. It seemed like an eternity. Yeah. As of right now, still just got the one cat. My ride or die, Agent Fox Mulder. Who's, again, in the other room looking out the window. It's, you know, getting late. It's after 6 p.m. here. I did work today, so But like 7 o'clock is usually the time I clean out his litter box and such. So he's probably going to let me know at that point in time. Be like, hey, dude, it is time to do the thing, man. that being said, I figured me just talking about him a lot, that he might come in here like, what the fuck are you talking about? I heard a thing about another kitten. Well, the last cat wasn't a kitten. She was like a year old, so she wasn't really a kitten anymore. But, you know, he'd be, you know, like, dude, what the fuck? I hear you in there. You're talking about getting another cat. I will slit your throat in your sleep, man. I know where you sleep. Watch out, man. He could, you know, he could come for me in the night, because I just hearing me talk about this. And but, you know, if I did get another cat that was missing, you know, another leg, hopefully, though the cat would be a lot younger, you know, hopefully he would have a fighting chance, as I did notice when I had the other cat that, of course, he was, you know, when you just have one cat and it's, it happens to be three-legged, you don't happen to notice so much that he's, you know, slower than a normal cat until you get like a normal four-legged cat around. And then it's like, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You are you are quite a bit slower, aren't you? As yeah, by himself, it's like, oh, yeah, he seems pretty fast for a three-legged cat. And then all of a sudden, you realize, wait a minute, yeah, he is kind of slow. So you throw in some, and he's, I think he, if you're going to miss a leg, it's probably better to be missing the front one, because that's where most of the strength for jumping is back there. But, you know, I've seen, you know, these kittens and Eileen that I almost had at one point too, that Tony ended up adopting. They do get around. They do get around. But again, man, it just seems that the hind leg would be a lot harder to deal with. So maybe, you know, foxes could could manage. Then again, you know, he's getting older, and he's a large cat. He's a very large cat. And so add into, you know, him being a bit husky and missing a leg and being old, I'm assuming the kitten would be a lot faster. So I guess maybe I should, like, fatten up the kitten. If I were to get another cat and it had to be this kitten missing a leg, I just to even the playing field, fatten him up. Just get him nice and fat. And see how that works. I've got I've been a little distracted as I'm talking, because I've put up some new wallpaper on my PC up here. I got some Young Frankenstein wallpaper. With of course, Gene Wilder, Terry Garr, Cloris Leachman, Marty Feldman. Great fucking movie. I would say that's my favorite Mel Brooks movie. Definitely one of my favorite comedies. It's probably in the top five as far as comedies are for me. Number one being The Jerk. Number two probably being Airplane. It might be like number three is Young Frankenstein. I don't know. I had never thought about it like a top five list or top 10 as far as comedies go. Just name it in that order. But The Jerk was, you know, always been really my favorite movie. Like, definitely number one in comedies. Number two, Airplane. Young Frankenstein, probably a solid number three. What would I round out the list with? Though, is a five. I don't know. I'd probably have to go Monty Python's Meaning of Life, maybe at number four. I mean, that's a classic. I fucking love that movie. A good old-fashioned British humor from back in the day. Man, and a fifth one. I mean, Twins is pretty good. Would I say it's one of my favorites? Like top five? I don't know. Maybe I'd go with like Tropic Thunder or something. Something a little bit more recent. That was just fantastic. Or you know what? What am I saying? I'm gonna have to go with the Farrelly Brothers movie. This is a tough call here. Does number five Dumb and Dumber? Which I think it's probably Dumb and Dumber. Or it had to be There's Something About Mary. Or even Kingpin. Holy shit. I mean, one of those. It's like picking between your favorite kid. Let me think. I mean, I used to watch up until Shallow Hal came out. Before that, every Farrelly Brother movie that came out, I was just, I got to see this shit in the theater. And, I don't think I saw There's Something About Mary in the theater. I mean, Dumb and Dumber. I was a fan of Jim Carrey before Ace Ventura. So I was watching, you know, In Living Color back in the day. And of course, that was where I was first introduced to Mr. Jim Carrey, which I was, you know, a huge fan of Jim Carrey. Watching, you know, we went and saw, Shelley and I went and saw Ace Ventura in the theater, and then The Mask in the theater, and Dumb and Dumber. It was, and they all just bing, bang, boom, just one right after the fucking other. Anyway, I guess I'd have to say Dumb and Dumber, because that one, I'd give, There's Something About Mary is fucking amazing, and fucking Kingpin as well. Thinking back now, I mean, the top five in comedies is tough. It is really tough. Again, though, The Jerk, number one, Steve Martin, fantastic. And then two, Airplane. I mean, those, whew. And Young Frankenstein, yeah, I think that's still my number three. Number four being Monty Python's Meaning of Life. That is definitely my favorite Monty Python movie. And, I mean, those movies, I was basically, that was, like, injected into my brain at, like, very early age, those movies. And then Dumb and Dumber really hit, I think, 94 is when that came out. I think that was the year that really Jim Carrey, like, broke out. And the soundtrack, I fucking have that shit on CD. I used to listen to that fucking soundtrack all the time. I recently, when I was still painting my kitchen, I was listening to the Dumb and Dumber soundtrack and reliving that stuff. That soundtrack is so 90s. The new age girl with the Mary Mo. Mary Mo, or is it Mary Moon or Mary Mo or whatever the fuck. The Crash Test Dummies with the and they did the Peter Pumpkinhead, or was it The Ballad of Peter Pumpkinhead, I think is the actual title. Great fucking album. Yeah, anyway, speaking of movies and Young Frankenstein, I am currently, looks like I'll be ordering some more of the movie Mylar posters, of the 5x25-inch posters. I'm looking at getting Twins and Young Frankenstein. I talked about in the last couple podcasts, I guess, of I had a list going of, I don't think Young Frankenstein was on the list, but Twins was on there. Total Recall. I think Idiocracy was one I was saying I wanted to get. And I don't think Young Frankenstein, but I was like, you know what? I got to get me some Young Frankenstein. But I did get, last week, I did win one auction. I believe it was last Sunday. I think it was after doing the podcast. I had won an auction on Sleepaway Camp 2. If you're unfamiliar with Sleepaway Camp, I mean, it is an 80s... masterpiece, if you will, is as far as, you know, cheap slasher flicks can go. It is I don't know, masterpiece is probably not how one should subscribe how one would describe this, but I mean, it is a classic, cheesy, like cheap slasher flick from the old 80s. And anyway, they did have, because every week, the sellers that I follow on eBay that have the 5-inch by 25-inch movie Mylar posters have, they put up like a different inventory each week. They, you know, the auctions go on for 6 days. And so every Sunday, I can make bids on new ones. Well, I mean, I can make, you know, I guess Monday is when usually the new content is thrown out there. But I find it best not to put any bids out until like the last hour of it being out there. Because it seems like the earlier you put a bid up, more likely someone is going to try to outbid you like out of the gate. And so I try to avoid doing that and try to wait until the last minute. Also, I can see if there really is anybody else that's already interested, you know. If I wait till the last like couple of hours or hour or so of the auction before I really start putting bids. And so I won't get as, you know, I won't get like heartbroken. Anyway, I did win Sleepaway Camp 2, which the first Sleepaway Camp, again, if you're not familiar with Sleepaway Camp, what happens, let's read the synopsis here on IMDb. It has, as far as slasher flicks go, probably the most shocking, at least visually shocking endings of that era, I guess. Though, I mean, looking back at the original Friday the 13th, the mother situation was shocking for its time. So, I mean, that's, that's, I guess, one way to look at it, whatever, what have you. Anyway, damn it, I'm trying to look at IMDb's summary of it, which when I looked at it on my phone, it had, oh, here we go, here's the storyline. The app is a little bit different as opposed to the on the PC looking at the website. The app on my phone being, anyway. So the storyline for the original Sleepaway Camp here goes as, after a horrible boating accident kills her family, shy, sullen Angela moves in with her eccentric Aunt Martha and protective cousin Ricky. One summer, Martha sends the kids to Camp Arawak. Soon after their arrival, bizarre, increasingly violent accidents claim the lives of various campers. Who is this twisted individual behind these murders? The disclosure of the murderer's identity is one of the most shocking climaxes in the history of American cinema. Now, I can say this. I'll just go ahead and spoil it. The movie's from 1983. it's probably been spoiled a lot. Anyway, I'll read the review. This one review I read earlier before recording. It really gives like the whole synopsis of the whole thing. Feature reviews. Well, how do I look up? Damn it. User reviews. I just click on that. Yeah. The app on the phone, again, a little bit different. Oh, here we go. Just, yeah, wow. Spoiler. This is, what was this written? Zombear wrote this in January 23rd of 2000, so 26 years ago. But, you know, 17 years after the making of the film. Let's take here's what Zombear has to say. Let's take a trip back to 1975 when John Baker and his boyfriend Lenny took John's kids on a boating trip. Those kids are madcap scamps that capsized their dad's boat for fun. But on the swim back to shore, a water skier kills John and his son, Peter, leaving Angela traumatized. 8 years later, Angela is living with her weird aunt, Dr. Martha Thomas, who would be able to unite Superman and Batman based on her first name. Being Martha Kent, I guess, and Thomas Wayne. Dr. Martha Thomas. Anyway, along with her cousin Ricky, they go to Camp Arawak for the summer. As someone who has never been to summer camp nor ever wanted to go, I failed to see the fun that places like this promise. Angela gets bullied, and I can say that too, not just the person reading this article. I've not been to a camp. I was never to a camp as a child, but I watched many a camp movies, most of them horror films. So I never had the desire, I guess, to want to go to camp. I've never been real fond of camping. When I was a kid, I liked, you know, hanging out in tents and stuff. Maybe had I gone to camp, I would have been more excited about it. Anywho, Angela gets bullied at every turn, even when the counselors try to help her, and top it off, the head cook even tries to rape her. Sure, he's soon scalded by hot water, but it seems odd how many people have it in for this little girl. I guess the good news is that everyone that screws with her dies horribly. If that can be good news. Like Kenny, a kid that mocks her, she also gets a friend, Paul, who has the hots for her. As Paul and Angela attend a movie at the camp, two of the boys throw water balloons at them. Billy, one of the throwers, is soon killed by bees. It's been many, many a years, a couple of decades at least, I think, since I've seen this film. So I don't recall if it's the kid was like allergic, if this is a My Girl situation with Macaulay Culkin where he's just allergic to bees. I'm assuming. If you're going to die by getting attacked by bees. Anyway, at this point, Mel, the owner, starts to realize that maybe there's a killer in the camp. Perhaps, because this kid was killed by bees. Now, he wasn't the only one killed. Anyway. Paul tries to kiss Angela, but she has a flashback to catching her father in bed with Lenny. Oh, no. And it gets worse. As Judy, one of the worst behaved girls, kisses Paul and then throws Angela into the water, Ricky saves her only for a bunch of kids to throw sand in her face. Will the torment ever end? The film then descends into slasher film madness. Meg, a counselor who is sleeping with the owner of the camp, a man nearly 50 years or more her senior, is killed in the shower. The kids who threw sand at Angela, nearly all of them are dispensed of with a hatchet. And the evil Judy, she's raped with a hot curling iron and smothered with a pillow. Which feels like the roughest and softest kill ever. I don't know if it's softest. I mean, I'm assuming it says hot curling iron. Getting that shoved up your vag or asshole, whatever which way. Not good. I mean, that's pretty brutal. The smothered with a pillow. I mean, that's, I guess that is the softest part. Maybe I can agree with this assessment. Anyway. And finally, the owner of the camp blames Ricky and attacks him, only for the real killer to shoot him with an arrow. The police come to investigate the murders while Paul and Angela decide to go skinny dipping. Of course, it is a slasher flick. Two of the counselors find them, and we learn that she has decapitated Paul and jumps up fully nude and fully a dude, making a hissing sound and looking like a complete maniac. The truth, Angela's really Peter, the boy we thought died in the opening. Dr. Martha had raised him as the daughter she never got to have. And that vision, which I saw that in the 80s when I was pretty young. Maybe it was the 90s, because it might have been early 90s. I mean, I realized the movie came out in 83, I believe. But I didn't see it in 83 that I remember. I would have been 2 years old. I'm venturing to guess I saw this late 80s, early 90s on VHS. Anyway, that vision of Angela with the dick. And if I remember correctly, there was quite the bush on that dick. And emblazoned in my brain to this day. Anyway, to sum it up here, it says, it's funny, in the early 80s, so many people bemoaned how many slashers were playing in theaters and drive-ins. But today, we're lucky to get a horror film into theaters, and truly odd films This isn't true anymore because there was a lot of fucking horror movies these days. This is, again, written 26 years ago. Truly odd films like Sleepaway Camp go direct to streaming or DVD. Let's face it, none of today's films are as goofy as this either. And by goofy, I don't mean the sci-fi or trauma movies that are made to be dumb. No, this is a film that appears to be an attempt at a legitimate serious film that ends up being something wonderful, crazy, filled with ridiculous dialogue, over-the-top murders, and that ending. Oh, no, I think this is... Oh, I'm sorry. This is... I was reading the wrong person that did this. This isn't from 26 years ago. The streaming doesn't make sense. It is Bands About Movies is who wrote this in May of 2018. So that was, you know, 8 years ago. A little bit more recent. Like, that makes a lot more sense that would be the thing. So, yeah, the Angela scene where she comes out and you see the junk that Angela is actually Peter and has a Peter is pretty epic. Though it's kind of funny now that, like, that would be the shock. Like, oh, man. You know, I feel like not so much of a shock now. Back then, it was a shock. It's like, oh, the old joke. What is the doctor? There's a accident where the boy or the child dies, and so does the father. And then the doctor says, "I cannot operate on him. This child is my son." And they're like, "How can that be? Because it's his fucking mother, dumbass." I don't remember the joke was something like that. Anyway. I could have gotten a Sleepaway Camp 1 poster, which was okay. It's an okay one. It's got the shoe being stabbed in it, but I prefer the Sleepaway Camp 2 poster myself. Damn it. Sleepaway Camp. Anyway, the Sleepaway Camp 2 poster has, which... Damn it. So Sleepaway Camp 2 has on the poster for that one, you got a woman counselor, I guess. It's supposed to be Angela. As Agent Fox Mulder is coming to say hi. He's like, dude, it's about time to start cleaning my litter box and whatnot. But we got a minute, man. We got a minute. You done looking outside? You want to look out the front window? Should I pause for a second? I did play with you for a while earlier. Come on, man. Be cool. Anyway, it's got who appears to be, you know, I'm guessing is supposed to be Angela on the poster, though she's played in the second film and the third one by Pamela Springsteen, Bruce Springsteen's sister, by the way. It's not her on the poster, though. But I'm assuming that's supposed to be Angela. It's got, come here, buddy. It says the tagline, when you go camping, just take the essentials. And she's got a backpack with a Freddy Krueger glove, a Jason Voorhees mask. Well, it's just a blank hockey mask. It's a white one. And it's very cheap. You can tell it's a costume a Freddy Krueger glove. It doesn't look like metal knives. But it also has a chainsaw in the backpack. So, I mean, it's... They're clearly going, if you love Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you're going to love Sleepaway Camp 2. Anyway, so, you know, she's just taking the essentials, the essential killing tools. Anyway, I don't remember the second one as much. I know I'd see the second one. I think I may have seen the third. I know I've seen one and two. I remember Pamela Springsteen being in the second one. I don't remember it being the Empire Strikes Back of Sleepaway Camp. Really, I think the only real memorable Sleepaway Camp of that I've seen was really the first one, mainly just for the ending. But I did watch the second one. I don't remember it being, as far as slasher films go. I would say it was decent. It was not bad as far as, you know, 80s slasher flicks. This one came out in 88. They've got a 5.5 stars rating on IMDb. I think Sleepaway Camp 1 was like 6 stars, which I feel like that one got more stars simply due to the fact, again, that ending, it was more of a shocker ending. And there's might be the biggest bush I've ever seen on a dude's junk is in that movie, which does remind me of the second apartment I had when I moved into that place. They had not cleaned out the place. That was part of the instead of having a paying a security deposit, the guy made me a deal. You just got to clean it out, and it was pretty messy in there. I had to clean it out, and then I didn't have to pay a security deposit. One of the things that was left in there was this massage book from the 80s, 70s or 80s. And it had just big old like 70s, 80s bush on like it was erotic massage, I should point out. It wasn't just like massage. It was erotic massage. And some big old bush on the men and women, if I remember correctly, because I'm trying to remember. I think it was both gen. I had the book somewhere. It's buried somewhere because I just thought it was just so funny that it was just a real relic of the times. anyway, yeah. That's kind of what makes me think of when I think of that bush from Sleepaway Camp. I also think of the book on erotic massage, which is some totally classic shit. but that is one other going back to like the movie posters. I was quite glad to get the Sleepaway Camp 2 because I do love that poster with the. I'm assuming that's supposed to be Angela. Of course, it's not the actress that played Angela. but she's got the backpack with where, of course, the Freddy glove, hockey mask, and the chainsaw. I mean, pretty fucking awesome. Anyway, I had found a poster for The Invisible Man from 1938, the H.G. Wells Invisible Man. It was fucking awesome. It was all black and white. I haven't seen that movie in a very long time. I know I've seen it like decades ago. It's not that I'm like a massive fan of the movie. It was just an awesome fucking poster. And they had some Bela Lugosi stuff too. But the Invisible Man, I tried to get that. I was bidding on that. And up until the last second, and I didn't want to pay a lot for it either. So, and it was only like $22, I think, dollars starting out. And I didn't want to pay like 40 or 50 bucks for it. So I just kept, doing a one upping the bid, whatever the option was for the next higher bid on it. And to the last second, I was making bids and I failed by just a little bit. There was two other bidders. And I don't think either one of them wanted to pay a fucking fortune for The Invisible Man. But I feel like, I could have added a couple more dollars. Had I waited till the last couple of seconds and added a couple more dollars just to really really fuck with whoever else was bidding. Because, we were bidding all at the same time. So I'm thinking, had I gone a few dollars more, then perhaps that would have been enough to make the other two like back off or just like pause and think just for a little bit. And I could have had that sweet, sweet poster, but it's all right. I won the bid on Sleepaway Camp 2. So they can suck it. I got that. I won that. And, eventually, I'll have some other posters as, I think I've got like 16 or 17 of them currently. Kind of lost count. I get these other two, which I messaged the guy about Twins and Young Frankenstein, which he says he has them, but I haven't heard anything back. I'm assuming they'll just pay for them. He didn't really. I'm assuming the same cost and whatnot. I guess I'll have to email him. Maybe he got sidetracked. It is a Saturday, you know. He could be busy. Anyway, I got a lot of movie posters, and there was other shit I was going to talk about tonight, but I'm a little, oh, you know, one thing I was going to talk about, I was heartbroken the other day. I was very heartbroken. I think I might have lost all faith in democracy now. I was really pulling for, Count Benface to take down Nigel Farage in the by-election in Clacton. if you're unfamiliar, Count Benface, I think I might have talked about him recently on here. I'm not sure. I know I talked about him back in the day, years ago, when he was running as Lord Buckethead. I believe back in the day we talked about that on the podcast. But Count Benface is in the UK. They do joke. Joke candidates in like I guess like every election. I don't know. I don't follow UK politics that much, but I know since I think back in like the 70s or so that they've been doing like joke political parties and candidates. And some of them can be quite funny. Count Benface is fantastic. I'm on board for Count Benface, as he, of course, was Lord Buckethead before, and apparently someone else had a copyright on Lord Buckethead, and so he had to then come out as Lord Count Benface, where he's got a trash bin on his head, and seems like a very funny fellow. Really. Really taking it to Nigel Farage, who is, you know, one of the people that is behind Brexit. He really pushed through. Him and Boris Johnson were the two main people that pushed through Brexit and got that shit to happen, which, you know, I don't follow it that much, but from where I stand, you know, is a real fucking shit show. Ever since. It's been, what, like 10 years ago? I forgot when Brexit was, but, of course, pulled England out of the European Union. You know, that's Nigel Farage. Thank him for that. But he also just recently, the reason why there was a by-election is because he had a £5 million, I believe, is the amount of donation from a crypto bro. That he did not declare, and because of that, he was getting investigated, and so he resigned, and then only to do a by-election so he could then run again and try to avoid this whole investigation into this £5 million donation from the crypto bro, who I believe has actually been like charged with crimes in the past too, is this the guy that gave him the money, which is like it's just a polite thing, you know. This is what people do. You take in donations. It's like $5 million to these people's like nothing. I'm giving him nothing in return. Nothing to see here. Anyway. Because of this whole thing, the serious parties and candidates, and Fox, come here, buddy. Come here, Mike. You want to talk about Count Benface? Come here. We're a Ben family here. We're a Benface family. We're Ben twin. Anyway, Nigel Farage. Okay, there was the whole, you know, bribe thing. Well, bribe donation. And because of that whole thing, all of the serious parties and candidates decided they weren't going to run against him. They were like, fuck you. You're wasting all this taxpayer money in this by-election because you're just trying to get out of an investigation. The whole thing's a farce. And so then, there for a minute, the only person running against him was Count Pinface, who in the past only had, like, the election before that Count Pinface ran for, which he's ran against, you know, prime ministers and such. He's been in quite a few elections. But I think he only had like 9 votes the previous time. And this time around, he did not beat Nigel Farage, but he did get like 9,000 something votes, compared to Nigel Farage's 22,000. But there was ended up being like 30 something candidates on the ballot, and they had this slip with all the people to vote for. It was just like this insanely long piece of paper. And anyway, I feel like had the other joke candidates not gotten in there, you know, perhaps Count Pinface could be in parliament. Probably not, but he would have needed a lot more votes to take down Farage. And then to top it all, I think in the run of things, though, I mean, Count Pinface, you know, never expected to really win the election. But he made such a more of a joke out of Nigel Farage, which is pretty excellent. So I guess it is a win. Though I really was hoping for that dark horse win. I was hoping for like just a glimmer of hope in the world that, you know, perhaps there can be, you know, a bright future. That maybe democracy isn't dead. At least, you know, it wouldn't have been in the UK. It's clearly dead in the United States. We live in a fucking dictatorship, unfortunately. We don't have Count Pinface to save us here. Watching the... If you haven't seen Count Pinface stuff, like, definitely check some of that out on YouTube. His, some of the things that he ran on were pretty fucking epic. Or pretty funny. this is... Let me see if I can pull up some of Count Pinface's some of the things he ran on. Pinface policies. Policy manifesto highlights over the years. Let's see what the AP has to say about that. The so-called intergalactic space warrior is among a field of 33 other candidates facing off. Okay, this is before the election. Pinface says he stands, or says the leader of the Recyclons on the so-called planet of Sigma. Is that 9? Sigma 9 is a firm believer in the practice of reuse. I don't remember all my Roman numerals. His manifestos over the years reflect this by mixing the old with the new in the policies he's announced during challenges against several prime ministers and the mayor of London. Pinface says he stands by his past manifestos. Here's a look at policy highlights from the current campaign in Clacton on Sea and previous races. Here we go. I will cut your taxes and raise everyone else's. And when he said that in interviews, he's like, you specifically, whoever the interviewer is, I will cut your taxes. And they asked, he's like, by a little. And then raise everyone else's. Slightly. Trying to do my best. Count Pinface voice. I pledge to build at least one affordable house. Which is great because, you know, politicians, even in America, they don't really build affordable homes. It's not a thing. Any American listening to this is aware that we're being priced out of ever owning any real estate at this point. It used to just be like big cities and like the coasts, you know, like you go to California or New York, you're like, you're not going to afford any. Now it's fucking everywhere. Arcade grabber games to be made fair so players actually have a chance to win. I used to be really good at them. when I was a kid. Though I haven't tried them these days. Maybe they've gotten harder. Maybe they're harder in the UK. I don't know. There's oil and gas companies to pay for solar panels for everyone. That was from Jack, age 10. This is some winnable stuff here. It's one family to have, or one person to have an affordable house. Make it easier to win an arcade grabber machines. A windfall tax on cozy crime novels written by celebrities. A referendum on whether Pluto should regain its planet status. I think that's, a lot of... I remember when that happened, when Pluto, which did it get its status back as a planet? I feel like here in the States, maybe it did. I know they had taken it away, which I remember people being very pissed off because I learned in school that there was 9 planets. Pluto is a planet. Will always be a planet anyway. Oh, here we go. Potholes to be filled using copies of the... I can't do a bit. I haven't heard enough Bent Face. Copies of the 2024 Labour Party manifesto to fill the potholes, which I feel like here in the States, if you're going to run on that, make it a Project 2025 documents, those books. Beautiful reading. Anyway. Wi-Fi on trains that works, also trains that work. here we go. Cyclists who break the highway code to be forced to ride unicycles instead. That'd be pretty great to see. The cyclists aren't as big here. I have friends that are cyclists. So, I realize there is a lot of cyclists around, but as opposed to Europe, it is definitely more, there's way more people cycling, especially in Germany. When being in Munich, man, they got a whole, part of the sidewalk for cyclists, and you got to watch out. They will run your ass over. Not nearly as big here. Anyway, people who use speakerphones on public transport to be conscripted. You're going into the military. I can get behind that too. Yeah, you motherfucker. Not only just speakerphones, but being in a public setting where there's a lot of people all around you and you're just watching YouTube videos or TikTok or what have you, and your volume is maxed. Conscription for you. The hand dryer in the gents' toilet at the Crown and Treaty Pub, Uxbridge, to be moved to a more sensible position. Now, I've heard him talk about this specific policy, and he says that it is right next to the urinal. And it's like it's drying the urine or sending the urine up into the air or something. I forgot. But he said it was right next to the urinal. Which reminds me, for former company I worked at, another business that they owned out in South Carolina, went out there. They had a urinal right next to a water fountain. There was a water fountain in the men's bathroom. And it was right... The water fountain was right next to the fucking urinal. That was fucking weird. I was like, man. And there was a one point in time I was just out there for a few days helping set up a machine. And I really wanted to fill up some water. And I'm like, man, the one place I knew I could fill it up was there. I think maybe I ended up going to a soda machine or something and getting some water later. But anyway, it's like, man, I cannot get water out of that water fountain, dude. It's right next to a fucking urinal. It's in the bathroom. That shit is in the air, man. That is unsanitary. That says here, Wallace and Gromit to be knighted for services to Wensleydale. And then loud snacks to be banned from cinemas and theaters, which, I don't know, I haven't had that much problem with loud snacks in theaters. Maybe that's more of a... I don't know what they're fucking eating in cinemas in the UK. Clacton could be a real... who knows what they're eating. I don't find that popcorn is too noisy. The stuff I usually eat, I guess can be a little on the noisy side, but I try to Well, usually I fucking end up finishing whatever I've got before the trailers are over. Yeah, I usually don't have that much of a problem of hearing other people with noisy stuff. I did hear, too, that one of the policies that Count Benface had pronounced was that London Bridge be renamed after Phoebe Waller Bridge. So it'd be the Phoebe Waller Bridge, which I do like Phoebe Waller Bridge. I know this is unpopular, but I did enjoy Indiana Jones, The Dial of Destiny. I thought she was amazing in it. I really like Phoebe Waller-Bridge. She won me over. Apparently that's a very... The consensus online seems to be that The Crystal Skull was better than The Dial of Destiny. I think a lot of people just don't like the CG Harrison Ford. And I thought it was all right. I thought it was good. I was entertained by the movie. The one thing I really wish that they would have done, though, is have a spot for Short Round to have him in there somehow. That would have been, you know, killer. Ke-Huy Quan, by that point, had already made a comeback. Being on Loki, Crazy Rich Asians, I think he was in. He's been in a bunch of stuff lately, but like... I didn't see the Crazy Rich Asians. I know that, of course, I know him from, like, Loki and, of course, Goonies. But he went many years without really acting. And then coming back, and then they filmed this movie. Where's my Short Round? That was my biggest disappointment about that movie. I thought Phoebe Waller-Bridge was a very... I thought she was way better than having Shia LaBeouf in The Crystal Skull. And yeah, although, you know, I was entertained watching, The Crystal Skull in the theater originally. The monkey scene, that one, that's a bit rough. The monkey scene. I know people, it seems that people seem to kind of forget like how cheesy a lot of parts of the original trilogy to Indiana Jones was. They already had some, you know, crazy ideas. Like you got, and, of course, Raiders of the Lost Ark, the Ark of the Covenant, and you open it up, the Nazis melting their faces off, and which is pretty awesome. But it always had, you know, religious artifacts that did crazy shit. You know, it was unrealistic things. And, of course, a Temple of Doom where they're pulling the hearts out by doing that... saying the words and all that shit and brainwashing people. And I love Indiana Jones. And it for me to have like a little Harrison Ford with and then throwing some Phoebe Waller-Bridge, I was all for it. I enjoyed it. So, you know, it's not like I guess it, I don't have to worry about that movie getting completely... I don't have a physical copy. Maybe I should get a physical copy. I do have the physical copy of Crystal Skull. I think I have Temple of Doom on Blu-ray, but then I don't have the other two films. Raiders or The Last Crusade. But they are on Disney Plus, I believe, right now. Anyway... I'll eventually get those posters as well. I've seen those on eBay, but I haven't put any bids on any of those. I do have the bigger, like, full-size 24x36-inch poster of Temple of Doom. But I imagine I will eventually get some of the smaller ones to light up. And we'll see what... but, you know, I'm... I'm trying to only buy them every few weeks or whatever, maybe like once a month, like have like, you know, three or four a month ish, depending on what kind of deals. If I can find some really good deals on them, because the going rate on those are about $30. So I don't want to spend three of them already is probably too much a month. But if I can find some for like 15, which there is some for cheaper prices on eBay, and some with the buy it now, and you get more obscure films. But usually when there are like 15 or below, that's when like it's just like text on there, and that it's just not that cool of a poster. But I do try to find deals. And then it sucks when I find like a really good deal and then I get outbid in the last few seconds. That is a real pisser. Real pisser. I'm pretty glad here, Agent Fox Mulder, though. Pretty chill. Because there's no kitten around. What do you think about that, Fox? What do you think about having a kitten over here? No response. He's just still just laying pretty much on the keyboard at this point, but the recording's still going, so he hasn't stopped it. I need to go back and watch Young Frankenstein, that's for sure. That is one of the classic movies of all time. Again, number 3 on my top 5 comedies. I am looking forward to seeing Spaceballs 2, which Mel Brooks, but needs to get it out. He is 100 years old. 100 years old. He was born in 1926. He was served in World War II. Dude is a fucking love. Love Mel Brooks. And it's crazy he's still alive. Hundo. He is a hundo. And they are putting out another Spaceballs 2 with Mel Brooks. I remember when Gene Wilder died. Toddy the Body, my buddy Toddy, and myself went to, which, was it Ronnie's? I don't remember what theater we went and saw it now. Oh, you know, I think it might have been Gravois Bluffs there in Fenton. We went and saw Young Frankenstein in the movie theater right after Gene Wilder died. And Mel Brooks, there was a live stream of it. They had like Mel Brooks like introducing the movie on a live stream, which was really cool. And then seeing that and him talking about like Gene Wilder and then the movie and then watching the movie, it was pretty fucking awesome. That movie is just fantastic. Oh, what knockers. Terry Garr was so hot back then. Madeline Kahn wasn't too bad looking herself at that point. And Gene Wilder. Ooh, I'd take that mustache ride. Or, you know, I'd give him a mustache ride. You know, it's awfully presumptuous of me to think that he would blow me. Anyway, it was sad to see him when he was older and he had dementia and whatnot. Because Gene Wilder was, like, that was somebody I grew up with, watching him and Richard Pryor, especially in the one I watched a lot of was See No Evil, Hear No Evil. That one was absolutely fantastic. And, of course, the other Mel Brooks film that Richard Pryor co-wrote but was not in because the studio was like, fuck you, we think you are a problem. He co-wrote, of course, Blazing Saddles with Mel Brooks. That's why the N-word's in there so much, because Richard Pryor wrote it. Cleavon Little was pretty solid, though. And, of course, Gene Wilder really killed it. But my favorite, though, is as far as Mel Brooks is concerned, is Young Frankenstein. I mean, Spaceballs is great. History of the World, which I still need to watch. History of the World Part 2. I need to pull that one up. I have yet to watch that. And I'll have to put that in my playlist. Get that rocking here soon. And that's about all I've got. I've got to go clean a litter box. Because I've got a three-legged fellow laying right in front of me here that's eagerly waiting for me to do that. And of course, to brush him, which he looks pretty chill right now. He seems like he could wait a little bit longer. Probably need to clean his ears out, too. He loves me when I do that. He just loves that. No, sorry. Yeah, you hear that little... He knows what the fuck I'm talking about. He's like, you motherfucker, fuck you. You're not cleaning my ears. Buddy, you've been itching a lot. Fox. Gonna have to clean your ears, buddy. Gonna have to clean your ears. Want me to clean your ears? Oh, I thought I could get him to talk some more. Want me to clean your ears, buddy? Meh. No? Yes? Want me to clean your ears? Oh, no. I went back to touch his ears. He was not happy about that. All right, so as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.